This is James Robertson, Syncom Smalltalk Product Evangelist, bringing you another talk from the European Smalltalk Users Group meeting held in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, in August of 2008. Alfred Wolfschlager at ESA 2008 explaining how he controls his home environmental systems from Smalltalk.
I like Smalltalk and I like hardware interfacing and things like that. And I have retired by the end of February. So I thought that it's time to do something like that. So what you see here in this presentation is an idea of an experimental work to increase the quality of a heat control system, namely the one which is driving my house since some years. I detected the problems of the original design very early when I bought the new heating boiler. The problem was that I did not have time at that time to make something by myself, and so this machine ran for about 6 or 7 years, but now I have, as I said, I have changed the things, and I hope that I can show to you that it has been worth it. I don't know.
Is it a PDF?
Yes.
You are not seeing do the control L, if you have a full screen, but it must be not in full screen mode.
Yeah, it's full screen, but the mouse
is green.
Oh, now I have. I can use the other side. Okay. Well, what was the starting point?
Clearly, the system. Oops.
The system as it is. And what you see here is a photograph of the mixing environment. Here below there is the heating boiler, and here there are the two
pipes.
To the boiler, and that is the mixing motor. The mixer is behind, and here is the pipe which goes into the house, and this is the pipe which comes back. And on this side you see the pipes. Do we have a pointing device, a laser or so?
There is one in the other room.
But this seems to...
Oh yes, it should be good.
Ah, very good. Okay, so the idea is that this is the heating boiler, and it is driven by gas, and then I have a temperature called TK, which is the temperature of the water in the boiler. Then we have the TV, which is the temperature going to the house. TR is the temperature coming back from the house, and these are two auxiliary temperatures which measure the temperature right at the mixer on both sides, so that you can see the effect of what happens when TK has a certain amount and you change the mixer state, then TKM will be an interesting relationship with TK. The control of the whole machine is done by... You have a pump here, which pumps the water through the house, and you have the mixer. This pump has just an on-off 230-volt relay. Then you have the mixer, which has two contacts, namely it is either closed or open. That's the two directions of the mixer. The mixer has 90 degrees, zero is here, and when it is fully open, it's as it is shown on the photo, it's 90 degrees. And so you need two relays here, and the gas valve by itself is also controlled by one comp. So you have in total two plus two makes four relays for each other. Now, the problem is that we have to think about how to control. The outgoing temperature is really the thing which is important for the house, because this is really transporting energy to the house. And the typical range of temperatures in this environment, when it is not a very good isolated house, is between, let's say, 30 degrees and 55 degrees. But now comes an important restriction. The boiler temperature should not be below 40 degrees, because else you get condensation effects. And condensation means that the heating environment in the boiler could produce corrosion and rust away. Rusting. So this is the important thing. You see that you have here a temperature, and this range is below and above these 40 degrees. So you need a mixer. And we have two main actuators, as explained before, namely the gas valve and the mixer position. Now, what is interesting also is that the boiler is typically a very small thing, because it's clear that you do not want to have a large boiler, because it produces dissipation, which is lost when you do not have a need to transport it into the house. So typically these boilers have small content, about something around 10 liters, whereas the radiators in the house will have 300 to 500 liters or even more. That depends clearly on the specifics of the house. So it is clear that the heat capacity of the radiators is much larger than the heat capacity of the boiler. And that means that you have to be careful in mixing. Because the problem is when you open the mixer, what will happen is that the water is quickly flowing out of the boiler, and the temperature will drop down. So to maintain TK larger or equal to TK minimum is really an important regulation issue, and it's not so easy to come to a good behavior. Now, this was the starting point in 2001, that this commercially built control unit, I'm calling it CU1, was just built into the boiler as it came from the company who installed it. And this boiler is running the system by hysteresis control of TK. So that means you have a lower and an upper TK, and what happens is the gas valve is controlled such that the temperature of the boiler varies between the lower and the upper limit. And the mixer is then pushing water into the house environment, but the mixer is very inert, as we will see later. And the problem is that when the mixer is closed, when the mixer is in low angles, you have a very fast rise in TK. But as soon as you have a high TK, it will stop the gas valve. Then the mixer is opening further. And what happens is TK drops very fast. And after some seconds, TK lower is reached, and the burner will restart. And what you see here is a measured example. This is, one could read it here on this line. It's somewhere in March I have made this measurement. You will see quite some of these graphics, so I would like to explain first what it means. What you have here is the time, and from here to the end of the scale is 20 minutes. So it's 10 minutes in the middle. And the temperature starts here at zero, and here we have 80 degrees. Because this is an interesting range of temperatures, so as to see what is going on in the system. Now here this is the 14 degrees line, that's the line which should not be under
mass.
Yes. As you see here, we have here the TK, that's the red curve. On all these graphics there will be the red curve, will show the TK as it is measured. Then you see here TKM, which is not so interesting at the moment. This is this mixing temperature. Then you see here, this is the TV. That's the temperature outgoing into the house. And what you see here is TR, that's the reverse temperature of the water which comes back from the house. And it's clear when the boiler starts and it produces heat, then you see first it goes down here, which is understandable because of the mixer, of the pump, which is pumping the water from colder areas in the house down to the mixer, and then you get this small bump. So here you see slightly growing the temperature of the water as it comes back, which is a large mean building. You see you have 300 liters, and when you bring energy on this very quick, relatively quick pace into the water, it will be integrated out. So the temperature of TR goes up very slowly. And clearly this is not very pleasant to have such a thing, because you see this line here is 30 degrees. So it means that the boiler is always going up to around nearly 60 degrees and below, as low as 30 degrees, and this is running for at least 45 minutes to an hour. So it's really very unpleasant. And not only that is bad, but it's also the gas valve, which is an electromagnetic valve, which is all constantly switched on and off again, and this makes a lot of stress to this gas valve. Which finally ended up in the non-functioning of this valve just at the very cold winter day. And I was not in the house, and when I came it was completely cold, and I had to get help from outside so that they could replace the valve. But I only came on Saturday, and they couldn't replace it immediately. It was very, very unpleasant. And I'm relatively convinced that this kind of behavior was very much responsible for this kind of problem. That's just, again, this what I said before, that I have this heavy swing of the temperature of the boiler, and the mixer is not really efficiently used. You always have to bring your own computer. It's really a problem. Or probably it's not even the computer, it's just the inter relationship between the machine and the projector.
I don't know how to do it.
We will take it the other way.
Do you use the tab keys?
Yes, yeah. It's better to use the page down. Once
you see, I don't see here.
The problem is that I don't see.
Or if you actually use the tab keys to move it slowly. Yeah.
Okay, so it is clear that what was the goal was to make a better control unit. Now the new control unit which I thought about to build should have had clearly the idea that the temperature, the minimum temperature of the boiler should be above 40 degrees as quickly as possible, and it should never go down below that temperature in any state where you are running the energy process. Clearly, when you switch off the boiler, then it's clear, finally, you go down. But the idea is that you restrict this heating up to a very short period. I started with the hardware idea of using a standard PC. That is important. Or a Mac could also have been possible, but the standard PC was just there because I thought I want to do it in Smalltalk, because all the machinery, all the ideas of controlling the system are programmed in Smalltalk. So the standard PC was a good choice, because then I would not have to bother about how can I make run the visual works environment on a small hardware. But probably this will be a project in the future to transport the code down to a very, very small machine. Then I wanted to have a USB-based device where all the analog digital conversion and whatever will be transported into the PC, so that I do not have to interface electronically directly to the PC, because this is not what I wanted to think about. But clearly this USB device has to be supported by special hardware, so that all the sensors and actuators are brought into the environment that we can control. The software, as I explained, is Smalltalk plus DLLs, and clearly it was very good to have a simulator by which you can really run the whole system without having the boiler. You see, what you see here is, here this is the boiler, it's open. Normally it's not, looks, it just looks white. Here there is built in all these different materials. Then you have here, that is the electronics board, where there is all the interfacing for the sensors and for the actors, actuators. Here you see the four LED, which are used to show that the signal is open or closed. Then here you see a relay board with four relays, which are interfaced by these 230 volt cables here to the oven. And then here we have calibrated temperature sensors, which are attached to this environment. Then there is some other auxiliary hardware, which I will probably tell about a little bit. Then this one is a Minilab 1008. That's a USB-based machinery, which has analog channels, 8 analog channels, 28 programmable I/O bits, and 2 digital analog channels, which I do not use for that project, at least not that many. And the starting, I was using Mini ITX as a starting point for a Windows platform, but I do not want to use that for production, because it uses too much energy. The board itself runs around 25 watt, and when you have a hard disk attached to it, you have enough around 8 to 10 watts, so it's much too high. But it's clear that the final solution should not have any moving parts, and it should be as low as possible. There is a good point about the CU1. I've measured the CU1. When it is switched off, it uses around 2 to 3 watts. And when it is functioning, including relay activation and things like that, it uses around 6 to 8 watts. So I think this is a good starting point that one should come to. But this is currently not my primary concern. Okay, here again we have the temperature sensors, which I have explained before a little. We have this TK, that's the most important one, the TV, the second one. Then we have the radiator, from the radiators. And then clearly we need the outdoor temperature, the room temperature as a reference.
here you could use as many room temperature sensors as you like. And then there are these two to understand a little better what is going on. The actuators I also have explained before. We have just these four relays. I think we should stay on. Okay, the software, as I explained, clearly the Minilab commercial product has just a DLL, which is very easily usable by whatever programming environment you like. It is based on human interface, whatever. I don't understand these things. There is a special Windows environment, human
machine
interface, whatever. And this machine uses that, but it helps that you have a very, very nice DLL, which is very simple to attach. I have used another interface which was a little more complicated. It works also fine, but I think this Minilab is a good compromise. Okay, as I explained before, all control is done in Smalltalk, so that means that the USB device is just there to get the temperatures in and to put the signals out of the computer. And everything else is really small talk code. The user interface clearly is in small talk. Then we have sockets. We use sockets for remote operation. And we use simulation. The simulation is running 10 times faster than the real run, which is quite agreeable, because normally when you are there in the house and you start, it takes let's say 2 hours until you get into the steady state when the house is cold. So it takes quite some time to see all the different phases. What I have done now is also that I can run the system locally and remotely. That means that I have a headless image here on the boiler computer. And then through the LAN, I have just the socket communication, and I can run the Smalltalk user interface on any other computer in the LAN, so that you can remotely control the machine.
Question?
It starts again.
Yes.
May I have a question about this?
I think this is because the page size of the projector is not the page size of the machine.
I had a question. Why did you use the plain sockets? Is this right? You didn't use some distributed object framework?
Yes, I use plain sockets. Yeah. The reason is that in our bank application that we had where I worked before, we used sockets in the same way, where we had just an XML language to talk between the two sockets, and that was very simple to use. And I said, well, I do not want to invent here a new environment, I just used what we were using it for this. So
you never tried something existing framework with distributed objects? I don't know. In OpenTalk, for instance.
Yes. Yeah. Sure. We could want to use this kind of thing.
Basically, it's just like using plain objects, but they are remote and it's transparent. So it's even more simple. You need to set up to start up the infrastructure in both sides. And then you have your objects, and you use references as if they refer to local objects. You don't see it in the rest of the application.
Yeah, you see probably the point is the following: when you saw the talk of Signor Caniglia before,
yes.
There you also see that what he does is he logs very small amounts of information, and in fact. when he changes the model in a very strong way, he will run into trouble, because then his chunks will not work anymore, because they do not correspond anymore to the model. When you use such kind of communication as you suggest, then you are in a better shape, clearly. But I'm doing the same thing as him. That means I have very small commands. You see, because I just say, let's change the room temperature required to that and that value. Let's change the alpha of the heat control to, let's say, 2.5 or whatever. And these are very specific commands, and there is not very much deep thought in it, how you would do that. So I didn't bother about using huge object models to make a communication between two Smalltalk applications, because the one is really more or less a kind of slave. And then there was also a second reason. I'm at the moment, I'm always recording the measured temperatures of all the sensors and all the settings of the headless image, and this is written onto a file, and in this file there is just a tab separated records, and these records are spontaneously transmitted also over the socket interface for each socket which is connected. And by that I also was out of any object-oriented thinking when I'm using this kind of records, because it's not, you see.
It's an easy thing, you just reused what you were successful with, so.
Yeah, and it's just a simple
discuss it further afterwards.
Yes. Okay. Now we come to the heating model, which is clearly the important thing about all the machinery. And what we want to have is we want to have a smooth running, and we would like to have energy saving by minimizing the mixing entropy, which means it's an optimization of the energy thing. We can talk about this. Okay, as we said, TK should always be more than 40 degrees whenever the boiler is active. The idea is to distinguish. You see, what is important, I'm making a presentation about my experiments that I have done over a while. And what is very amusing is you just stay there and say, the idea is. It's clear. When you start thinking, then the first thing is you come and you make these three ideas. That's not true at all. You start and you experiment and you find out what is bad, and then you. And finally, you come to this, okay? But this is a conclusion. We have three phases. The early heat up from cold boiler, the intermediate heat up, which is clear, that is, the temperature is below the minimum temperature of the boiler. Then we have an intermediate heat up. This is the phase where TK is at the minimum, but TV is smaller than the calculated TV which we require because of the outside temperature in the environment. And then you have the third phase, which is the normal running. That's just when TV has reached the level that is required by the outside environment. And by separating these three phases, you can make good decisions about controlling the boiler. Keeping mixing entropy small does mean that you should not have TK very high as compared to TV. That means TK should be as near as possible to TV, just because when you have TK much higher than TV, you could make a process between these two temperatures, and you could get energy out. This is the reason why one is talking of mixing entropy and not mixing energy. Mixing entropy means that you just mix higher temperature to lower temperature reservoir, and by doing that, you are losing possibility of processes between the two temperature different temperature levels. And that is the reason why we are talking about entropy and not energy. But this is clearly not easy for all boiler states, especially when TV is very low. You cannot go there because you just have these 40 degrees decline. Then we use a parameter called minimal energy needed, and we define that just by C, which is the 4.2 kilojoule by 1 degree and kilogram, times the mass of the radiator, of the water in the radiators, times the difference between the required temperature, outgoing temperature, and the measured outgoing temperature. So you see that A min is positive as long as TV calc is bigger. So it means that you have not yet reached the level where you can say, aha, now I am in, I can go into an equilibrium state. So it means that A min, when it is smaller than zero, then we have an energy reserve in the house. It means that we have more energy in the water of the house than what we need from the requirements of all the losses in the into the environment. So what do? We say that as long as a minimum is positive, that means that the temperature is too low, we do not switch off the gas valve. You see, when you remember the CU1, there it makes on and off whatever it likes. And here I say no, a minimum as long as this is positive, we will never switch off the gas valve. Clearly then we have to be a little careful because the mixer has to be controlled very fine. So as to guarantee that you do not overheat the boiler and or underheat the boiler by going below the 40 degrees. So this is really a very important difference to the way the CU1 is making the control. So it means that during this time, which is a time which can be quite long, hours, during this time only the mixer controls TK. And the gas valve is just open. As soon as a minimum is smaller than zero, then we say, now we are in a hysteresis regime, because now we are in a dynamic equilibrium. We have to supply the energy that is going out of the house because of dissipation through the walls. And but we cannot just continuously switch on and off to control that in a very short fashion, because when we do that, then we'll also make a very fast movement of the gas valve, which is not good. So the idea is that we make like a kind of hysteresis here in this regime, so that we say as long as the energy is between zero and the maximum between zero, we say that this is on and off depending on the state. That means as soon as the a minimum maximum reserve is reached, we stop the valve, and then we wait until the energy is going to zero again. Okay? This is the behavior when we are in the dynamic equilibrium. Now we look at the three phases. Early heat up, as I have said, we want to have very fast heat up to the minimum of TK, and then we, as soon as TK is reached the minimum value, we start opening the mixer, and then we switch after a while, we switch to intermediate heat up. The 900 seconds is just arbitrarily chosen. What you see here is the result of the heating up process. By the way, I would like to just shortly explain to you why here there is this minimum. The reason is that the first hardware that I used had special ranges between the lowest value and the highest value of the analog digital converter. So I had to choose the transformation in such a way that I had reasonable things. And what you see here is that the minimal temperature that you can see at TK is 30 degrees. Because it's not interesting to know whether the boiler has less than 30 degrees. The new hardware which I have now with the mini lab can go down further, but it doesn't really bring new insights. Okay, that's just so as I said. Also here you see the TR, which is the blue curve, is restricted here also around, 18 degrees or so. And here TV has a little higher minimum. And now what you see is, this is now, here I have a new curve, this is the mixing angle, shown in the graph. Here is 0 degrees mixing angle, 45 and 90. And this mixing angle is not really measured, but it's integrated over the time, because I'm just saying, as long as the mixing relay is on, the mixer moves linearly from 0 to 90, and when it is closing, then it's vice versa. So you can simply integrate the amount of time that you have the mixing valve open or closing. Okay, so here the first thing is that I do, when I start the computer, I have no idea where the mixing where the mixer is, because it can be wherever. So what I'm doing at the beginning is I'm closing the mixer for 2 minutes, a little more than the amount of time it needs, 107 seconds. And after 2 minutes, it's clear that it must be closed now, whatever the position was, as long as it is not broken. And so it is clear that now we are in closed situation. And what happens now is you see that TK is now rising quite quickly. You see here is this is 60 degrees, this is 70 degrees, 80. So we have here over 60 degrees. But you see here I'm starting to open the valve around the mixer around a little above 40 degrees. And then it goes on to a certain angle, and then we are just waiting. And what happens is, you see now the mixer starts working. The pump is not shown. The pump is on just at the beginning. I'm thinking at the moment about stopping the pump even at the beginning, so that I can say there is no effect of transporting cold water through the boiler. Until you are reached, you are reaching the stable state. And you see now, here the mixing angle is not changing, but the temperature changes quite dramatically. The gas valve is always open. This green line here, that's just always open. And now you see that here we come to a point where we reach the 900 seconds, or around here, 12 minutes. So here starts the so-called intermediate phase that we will look at afterwards. And then what happens is that the mixer will slowly open. And you see, whenever you make a motion with the mixer, then the water, the TV is increasing quickly, but only for a short period of time. Here you see, I'm making here about, let's say, 5 degrees of mixer angle opening, but you see here TV is quite dramatically going up and down again.
Can you remind us, please, the previous graphic? No, the one without your system, to see when the TV goes beyond beyond the minimum. Uh-huh. TV is the house temperature, right? What is
the
temperature?
TV is the temperature that is going out into the house. Yes, but this is not shown also on the other diagram. You will see it later.
Yes, yeah. My question is, does, is the the temperature becomes, you go beyond the minimum earlier with your system?
Oh, sure, yes.
So do I understand, in the early phase, the mixer, after being closed for 2 minutes, is opened to an angle that controls things. The valve is continuously on, the gas valve. Then after 900 seconds, we go into the intermediate phase, and at that point, you're prepared, that's when you're first prepared to turn the valve off, is that right? Or do I misunderstand?
No, not really. No, the idea is that the first phase is just a phase where I'm not interested at all what TV makes.
Yeah.
It's right. Only interesting to look at TK.
Right.
And the idea is that TK is below the minimum temperature of 40 degrees, which is around here, which means that I will not open the mixer at all.
As soon as
TK reaches the minimum temperature, I'm starting to open the mixer to a certain value.
But that's not the beginning of the intermediate phase.
No.
Okay.
The intermediate phase is just arbitrarily chosen
at 900.
At 900 seconds, and the reason is just that you see when you now look at the heating up phases, whatever the conditions of the house are, you will only see the same diagram.
So because the intermediate phase is the phase when you start to look at TV. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Right. Okay,
that's probably yes. That's. Okay. Now we are looking at the intermediate heat up. The intermediate phase is clearly a minimum is bigger than zero because else we would be in the equilibrium. So it is clear that we are really heating up. As long as this is positive, we are heating up. The gas valve is always open. That's also a condition of heating up because it means that TV is not yet at the point. And the heat transfer is completely controlled by the mixer. And what is very nice is, and I will show you now a diagram of a typical run, which is here. Here again, this is the heating up phase. This is the early heating phase. And then here we start controlling the temperature of TK by making motions with the mixer. Now what is interesting, as I explained before, such a diagram shows you 20 minutes. So what you see here is that the first motion of the mixer after its first start, here just when TK rises in the early phase, is only after, let's say, 15 minutes, typically. And then what happens is, you see, I'm moving very slow, a very small amount, some degrees, and what happens is you have a dramatic effect on dropping down the temperature to somewhere around 45 or so, 44 degrees. And then it slowly rises, which is clear, because I do not do anything on the mixer. Now it's just there. It is at a fixed angle, and what happens is that the gas valve is always pushing energy. The energy is heating up TV. You see, it goes up a little. And then what happens is that slowly this temperature will rise. Okay, just because you always have energy which is more than what you give to the house, and then after a certain amount of time you say, I'm now in a position where TK is very stable, and what I can do then is I can again open the mixer a little more, and what happens is again that the temperature TK will fall, and you see TV always when I open the mixer. TV will make a small bump. That's very interesting. That was a first result of experiments. Afterwards, I put it into the simulation so as to be capable of showing this effect, because this is an interesting effect, which has to do with the fact that a temperature, an energy distribution in the house is slow.
yeah. as compared to the energy distribution in the near region between yeah. The boiler and the pump. Yeah. You see the TV sensor is near the pump, so it means that it will see a bump, whereas after the 300 liters you will not see any such thing. Okay, and then you see what you see here is 80 minutes, so this is 1 hour and 20. And when you see this, you have very small amounts of motion of the mixer. Here there is a little mixing up, and there is very smooth behavior of the temperatures. All temperatures are rising apart from these small bumps, very very slowly and very evenly. Now, after a while, we are coming into phase 3, which is the normal running, that means the equilibrium state, because when we have reached the temperature that is calculated to have enough energy in the house, then we start doing this normal running phase. And here we must differentiate two different modes. The one mode is where the calculated temperature is below take-home minimum, and the other one is where the calculated temperature is above take-home minimum. I call this lower and upper mode. And the upper mode is very, very easy, because the upper mode means that because TV calculated is bigger than take-home minimum, the mixer can just be left open, because we do not violate the minimum requirement by just saying, so we just have to regulate the TV according to the needs of the house. So that means,
machine, yeah, that's true. Maybe you just want to wake up the machine.
It's not the machine. I've pushed the wrong button. But you see, I'm not sure whether I am on the right channel. Let's see. I'm sorry.
Were you close to the end of your talk, Alfred? Do you actually need your remaining slides, or can you?
Well, you see, the interesting thing is clearly these diagrams. I can just make a summary. What is very interesting was that clearly when I started doing all these experiments, these curves did not look like that. They looked more like moving around. You see, the first thing was to be capable of making a good control of the mixer is really the most important thing. Because when you move the mixer too fast, then you have a lot of problems. And that was really the most important point to come to. Now we have a system which makes very, very small motions with the mixer. You are there and the mixer is never moved. It because you have to wait 20 minutes and then it makes and then it waits again 20 minutes and then it makes so it is really it's very, very calm. And this clearly was not the starting point. At the starting point the mixer moved much too much. What is also interesting is that the lower mode is clearly much more complicated to make a good control, because there you have the problem that the temperature which you require in the house is below the minimum temperature, so it means that as soon as the gas valve is off, you have to think about the idea of closing the mixer to avoid that the temperature of the boiler is going away. Because you see, you have 30 degrees in the house and you have 40 degrees in the mixer. So you have either the possibility to have gas which heats to hold the temperature on 40 degrees, or you have to close the mixer when there is no gas valve. And what is also interesting is in the first 10 minutes after pushing off the gas valve, you have something like 130 watts coming out of the steel block from the boiler to heat up the local water. And as soon as you have closed the mixer, it helps you to maintain the temperature of the boiler, which is very positive. So it means that as long as you have cooling down phases where you switch off the gas valve by 10 minutes, you will not be in critical shape. So what I reached was that I could make the mixer angle between 17 degrees and around 70 degrees. And so in this range, I have less motion than from 0 to 90 and back to 0. Okay? So I reduce the amount of motion by using these kind of
effects. Can I just check? 0 is totally closed and yes. 90 is totally open.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
Do you have any reductions in gas consumption or something else?
That's hard to say currently, because the point is that you see, I started developing by the end of February. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky that the temperature rise of the environment mm-hmm. was such that I could really study all the phases of the heating system through these days. That means I was around 2 months or so, I was thinking about these things. And so I cannot really currently say it is clear that this method will save you gas on that.
Okay.
I don't know. And I have no measurements on that.
You need some more years
yes,
experience.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Probably. Okay. Theoretically not.
Theoretically.
The energy you lose is through the walls.
And that's a constant theme, you know.
Yeah. Solid. And you can...
Except because when you stop, the boiler cools down, so you need to reheat it so you have more energy to expense to reach the same level before the...
Yeah, but you have a reduction in consumption of valves.
Yes, that is really important. Yeah.
How much water do you spoil over the time?
Well, I have spoiled one.
It was a defective one, and then you started your project.
No, I started the project some years later. So the valves last long. Mm-hmm. Yes, but nevertheless, it's very boring when the valves are broken during the week.
You never forgot this.
Yes.
Dramatic, traumatic experience of losing a valve.
Yeah.
So you started this urgent project.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, probably I can switch to the last. This is this, you see here that the TK is always near TD when you are in the equilibrium state. That's the upper mode. But it doesn't work. C1, you see here, that's probably an interesting comparison. This is the behavior of C1 in an equilibrium state at the same amount temperatures. You see here the green, the TV is around 50 to between 40 and 50 degrees.
And here you see that the TK is rising much above. And what it does is it heats up here, and then it just mixes off the temperature in the boiler. And this is really a point where you get a lot of mixing entropy, which you should avoid.
Okay, low amount of Christian
simulation. Probably there is one thing. Clearly, in such a heating system, you cannot rely on software completely. That's too dangerous. So it is clear that you have to put safety hardware so that they guarantee that everything is not going into strange states. It is clear that there is a safety measure built into the original oven, which is there to guarantee that there should be no problem, but this switch is switching off at 110 degrees, and I would not like to try it out. What happens when this switch comes? Because probably then I have to phone to someone.
No, it's not the valve only. We need I need a boiler and bring a room.
And so I have built in this little thing that's a bimetal switch, which has a nice feature, namely when it switches off. It starts heating up itself by using the power from the 230 volts. And so this switch will never go on before you switch off completely by pulling off the 230 volt switch. This switch will never go on again. So it secures the running of the system. And this is... I have used such a bimetal switch, which is at around 80 degrees. And I've measured it out. It's very interesting to see what happens. You see, you make water and you put it there, and then you heat up with a Tauchsieder. Okay, a small boiler in the water, and then you see what happens to the switch. I have not tried it yet in the practical environment. I will do experiments probably in September about that. Mm-hmm.
Try it in summer when you don't need the heat.
When you apply, yes. Alfred,
only a proposition.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like your scientific research on this is well ahead of the manufacturers of the boiler unit that it came with. Do you know how this compares with the industry in general? I mean, is this something that manufacturers should be really interested in?
I think so very much, yes, definitely.
Are you planning to turn this into something that you will actually go to a targeted manufacturer with and say, look, you know, maybe...
Yes, at least I will try. You see, I...
But I think it sounds like it has commercial value.
No, it has not. It has a negative commercial value. It destroys the business of the people who repair the wall.
Yeah, it's true. But the Bang & Olufsen of manufacturers will probably... There must be some manufacturer somewhere who says, buy ours, they don't break. They'll be different.
They'll probably buy it back to make sure it never reaches the market.
Yeah. Or you can start with their own company, manufacturing as well. But seriously, I think...
You'd have to target the right manufacturers. Starting discussions. Yeah. With these people, but you see the problem is that I have been in banking environments, and so my contacts to these people are very narrow.
And if anyone knows a boiler manufacturer, they should let you know. Okay.
Yes. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. And clearly, what I have also done is that this is 230 volts, which is our all. They are monitored by optocouplers, so that I, in the software, I can detect when a relay fails, and I can also detect when in the oven itself there is an alarm because of gas valve malfunction or whatever. And so this is also an important thing to guarantee that one does not really go into problems. And then the last thing is that by switching, I can easily switch the old CU1 with my own control by just pulling out this plug and putting in the other one, and then this old CU1 is running again. Because the old CU1 has its own sensors and whatever, so I do not have to do more than just switching these two. So this is, yes. Okay, so in my opinion, the CU2 runs much better than CU1. It is clear when you stand beside the heating place, you find, it's really very calm as compared to before, because before it was always mixer on, mixer off, valve on, valve off, and whatever in the first phase. And yes, then it is clear Smalltalk is a wonderful environment to make these kind of things. Also, in this environment, you see, this is not the environment where I'm using Smalltalk normally, and it is very fascinating that you can make development changes during the running of the system. You see, I sat there during the running of the boiler, and I made changes. I said, now I get a problem, the temperature is rising too fast, okay, let me put a little more...
Houston, we have a problem.
You see, in the there is a demonstration, which I can present at whenever some people are interested. But this demonstration, you can see, I have there a switch to say, go to hand control of the mixer. This was very interesting because by using the hand control of the mixer, you could really try out good combinations of thinking about how can you make control which is calm. You see, that when my first curves were like that, the mixer went off and closed and just like that. And then I started thinking that cannot be the problem, because what happens is TV is also making like that, clearly. When the mixer is open, a lot of energy is going through, and when it is closed, it is buried in the oven. So it was very interesting to go through these steps to find out how you can really make a very, very smooth control. And now it's this mixer does not move anymore. Sorry for killing us. Yeah. And then the simulation was also interesting in the sense that it is clear that when you make a simulation, you find out that the simulation is not doing what you have in real life. And then you start thinking about, I have to put in something new into the simulation. And then you put it in and you make new experiments and you find out about other things which influence then the practical running. So it is really a very, very fascinating work to come to a smooth running of such a system using Smalltalk. And I would like really to stress that, you see, I have made a heat control system in 1981. And this heat control system ran in my house for 20 years. But this was a very simple one, because it just had to pull up the gas valve or push down, and the rest was just, there was no take-home minimum and nothing. So it was very simple. And there I used EEPROMs, and I did never change or never like to change the program, because it's very complicated. You need to burn EEPROMs and then you put it into the hardware. It's very complicated. And here you have a system where you run it, and during the running you can change the code. And this is, yes, it's just small. So this was my motivation to show it to you, even if the theme does not have much to do with small talk. I thank you very much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that talk from ESUG 2008, held in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, in August of 2008. If you did, head on over to syncomsmalltalk.com and check out the podcast area. We have a weekly podcast and lots more content where this came from. You can also send feedback to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com. You can head on over to the Industry Misinterpretations Group on Facebook, the Smalltalkers Group at Ning. You can head on over to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. And of course, you can go to Podcast Alley and cast a vote for us.